Jay Fanning on 2FM.
Indeed. Now, what was I going to say? Owen Sweeney, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Dave.
Right. Good man yourself.
Right,
I want to take a look at something, but before I do, I want to take a look at some World Cup stuff. Are you watching it, Joe?
I am, of course.
Have you seen the headlines in the paper
today? Why do you think I sound like
actually,
this?
Actually, before I even look at the headlines in the paper today, Thursday night's match and the whole opening thing, did you see...
I didn't see the opening ceremony. I didn't see J-Lo. Before you start, I didn't
Jennifer
see
Lopez
J-Lo.
Feed Pitbull. They were on a hiding to nothing. I feel
Jennifer
sorry
Lopez's
for
feet did what?
No, F-E-A-T. Yes, okay. You know, it's so bad, though, in some ways.
Lots of pictures in the paper the next day, though, so they'd be happy with that.
I know, you couldn't hear a thing, and it wasn't necessarily their fault.
The sound was bad.
The best of all was that George Hamilton had to do a commentary for the
yes.
whole thing.
They're giving notes, though, aren't they? Have you ever done that? They're giving notes, kind of pre-prepared banter type of background information.
You,
the man on stilts and that stuff.
Windsor Castle. What do you call the place that the Queen lives in? Whatever you call it.
Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace. I was at that for the 10 years. I don't know what it was. It was 2003. What was she? 50 years on the crown or something?
On the crown,
something.
I don't think she sits on the crown, though.
Whatever it was. Anyway.
Is that Brian May on top doing his
diddly? That's right. Brian May started up in a turret over above my head, and then they all played like there's Ozzy Osbourne standing behind the Queen.
Kermit and Ozzy Osbourne, I remember that.
That's fantastic. Anyway, where was I? Yes, you do get
the opening
notes.
Ceremony. Yes.
But notes are no good. It's just you come out like really dry. It's like, and this one here represents the rainforest of Brazil. Leave it out, George.
Yes.
Just let it happen.
Yes.
It's frightening. Anyway,
indigenous people always get a mention.
They always do, yeah. And then
not so much in the Constitution, but usually in the opening ceremony.
And of course, I noticed that Sepp Blatter wasn't there. He wasn't going to face the
really.
Because
well, they have their Congress.
He wasn't on the screen. Anyway, the point about it is that it was terrible. And 9 million down the drain. I think the money could have gone elsewhere. But then the crowd, it was a rent a crowd. They weren't a football crowd. Who were those
in
people?
In the stadium in São Paulo.
They was ludicrous.
They made a lot of noise in Brazil's scored.
They made a lot of noise in the crowd too, but it wasn't real footballers' noise. You know what I mean? Kind of, it was just.
It was fever pitch,
yeah.
I noticed the cameras were very good there. They were very democratic. They were focusing on kind of regular looking people in the crowd. Because you know, famous.
But the whole crowd
the cameraman
regular,
or the director or the vision mixer, whatever, would cut away to the hottest looking female in the crowd. It was a bit more kind of.
Yeah, the
voices.
The
voices
look at everybody as well. Anyway, like the point about it is, then the match goes on, and what a joke! I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing. Oh my god!
Are you upset about this still?
I just can't. I cannot believe
Brazil still won. Though.
I love this. I hope Brazil lose every match from now on. Remember your man got the ball thrown at him at the corner flag some years ago, and
Rivaldo,
the guy got sent off.
2002, yeah,
it's out of hand.
World
tell
Cup
you,
semi-final.
People are living off the glories of the 70s and the 80s. When it really meant something.
I'll tell you one thing that really annoys me, and it does annoy me, and I do actually podcasts.
Dreadful match.
Put Soccer Ball into iTunes and find it. I tend to eviscerate commentary and punditry and stuff like that just for the crack and take it out of context. But I tell you what I do dislike about international football pundits and all that is that, and you're dead right, when it comes to Brazil, it's always like, oh yeah, Samba football in 1970. It's like they haven't seen Brazil play in 40 years.
Exactly.
When Holland play, now in fairness, they were brilliant last night, but in the last World Cup and in every other tournament, it's like, oh yeah, total football in Cruyff in the 70s.
Yeah.
They don't even remember. And me, watch, I don't remember Cruyff of the 70s.
It's a joke.
You know, and it's the shallowest of punditry and analysis, basically.
Yeah,
and I haven't watched any RTE yet. I have been watching ITV.
I watched them all, actually. It's very interesting.
ITV's terrible.
Well,
terrible.
Mark Lawrence on the BBC last night, I really wish he'd shut up.
He's the worst joke
little comments,
ever.
It's just like, what's he saying?
He makes terrible guys.
He thinks he's funny and he thinks he's really kind of on the button. It's awful stuff.
And the casual racism as well, which I think people should watch out for, because the South Koreans without fail are industrious. The Germans without fail are well organised. The Dutch are volatile, and this sort of thing, and this Latin temperament, and then Brazil, you know, and the samba and stuff. I can't wait for Argentina, though. I do genuinely watch Brazil and Argentina.
When I saw Luka Modric playing on Thursday night, I said, this is what it's all about. And then your man comes along and looks at him for 3 minutes and then whacks him in the face and nearly kills him. It's ludicrous. And then he only gets
Neymar.
A yellow card, and then he goes and scores a couple of goals. It's all mad.
He played better in an hour for Brazil than he played in the last 4 months for Barcelona.
Yeah, and that penalty, please. It's a joke. Anyway, reason I'm saying all this is
because it
all turned around yesterday.
It did.
I mean, it was
sublime.
That game last night was fantastic. Even the one in the afternoon, I got something. Even though, what was that
Mexico
linesman about with the Mexican?
The second goal was ludicrous.
But look at all the headlines here on the papers this morning with all this. Like, you can guess them. I thought it would be like the Spanish Inquisition.
Holland. Oh, no, yeah. Oh,
it's
God.
Not.
The Flying Dutchman, of course.
Is the first one.
Yes.
Holland blows Spain out of the water. And there's the picture, of course, of Van Persie in mid flight. What a goal!
What a flight, though. Did you actually watch the way he landed? He landed perfectly flat.
Brilliant. He took his time on the ground.
Dave, can I just say, when he ran to the touchline to do the worst white man high five
ever
with his new manager.
It didn't work.
But you know, the whole Man United thing is a bit too creepy.
It didn't work. I know. And here's another one here at the back of the mirror. It says, right van man is the headline.
Terrible. Very English.
Another one, Flying Dutchman Destroy Spain is the Irish Independent. Rock and Robin. How about that?
My
By the way, it's not Robin van Persie they're talking about. It's Ian Robin.
Yes, because he scored twice.
He scored two goals too. Dutch stars as the double. Dutch star at the double as RVP and LVG celebrate a famous route. Pretty good.
Oh no, we're going to have to deal with LVG now for the next year.
I know. Louis van Gaal.
Okay, Robin's goal where he took it down was so reminiscent of Dennis Bergkamp in '98. It was sublime.
When Dennis Bergkamp scored the goal against Argentina with 1 or 2 minutes to go, and Argentina went, "What? We're out." Which was fantastic.
And the greatest Dutch commentary ever. Look it up on YouTube.
Really? Okay. Yeah. No, the whole reason I'm doing this is to show you this. Look at the headline in the Irish Times. It's fantastic. Are you ready for this? Look.
Go on, I haven't seen it.
4 years on, orange is the new black. Okay, let's talk about something else. We want to look at something else entirely different.
Self-editing is back with
the
bag.
We're not here to talk about football. Although, did you see Tim Cahill's goal last night? It was a great header. Although Australia lost 3-1. Anyway.
And rightly so.
To Chile. Yeah, they were crap. Now, for those of you old enough to remember... I'm trying to start something serious. Basically, next Tuesday, we're talking about something quite serious. O.J. Simpson, he got into the passenger seat of his Ford Bronco and he headed out into the Santa Ana freeway, as you know. If you don't know, and you don't know the full story, you're otherwise engaged, though surely this was the only thing happening. It was the 70th of June, 1994, and it changed everything, television in particular, forever, and reality TV. For the night that O.J. made some class of, you know, the slow-burning trip, as we well know, down the highway and all the rest, Santa Monica, Santa Ana, etc., in the Bronco and all the police and all the things. What is it all about? What happened exactly?
Alfie.
Just give it to us in 25 seconds or 30 seconds for those who weren't there. What happened?
Yeah, basically, O.J. Simpson's ex-wife, who'd been divorced, I think, for 2 years at the stage, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman, her paramour, or so we were led to believe at the time, were found murdered. And then 3 or 4 days later, O.J. Simpson the pressure was put on the LAPD to arrest O.J. Simpson. His lawyer said he turned himself in on the morning, as you say, of the 17th of June, 1994. He didn't. He seemed to have absconded. He disappeared. His friend and some sort of counsel, Robert Kardashian, that's an important name, folks, in what we're going to be discussing. He read a statement to the cameras. There was something like 1,000 reporters, Dave, I've seen mentioned, waiting outside his house for him to be arrested. He read a statement that read something akin to a suicide note. Next thing, O.J. Simpson's spotted on the freeway, as you say, and something like 7 network TV helicopters are buzzing overhead. It's all filmed, and as you say, America is gripped. I think more people tune in at some stage than watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's take a little blast.
Go. He's in the left lane now.
Yeah,
making a left turn. The intersection's free, and he's clear. And now making his left turn westbound on Sunset.
All right, he must have gone right by you, Eric.
Well, he has, and we're staying ahead of it. We're going to his mansion, believing that he's going there, but it was an amazing situation on that overpass there. There were people running around on top of there. I don't know how he's going to be able to drive through all those people. All along Sunset Boulevard, there are people stopped as well ahead of the chase. We can only assume he's going to his home on Rockingham in Brentwood.
On Rockingham and Brentwood.
Which became a very famous address.
Which became a very famous address because it was, I mean, I hate to say I've actually been down that direction. I had a look around the whole thing because I know somebody had blasted.
Did you do the tour?
Well, whatever. And like, it's a house, a really nice house, but it was always called the Rockingham Estate.
That's right.
It's like people don't fly into Dublin. They don't get a Ryanair and just pop on. They jet in. It's all this kind of stuff. The whole language
changed. It's a very upmarket part of LA as well. Yeah. Absolutely. And as you say,
do you know who lived there? Harrison Ford lived there. Meryl Streep lived there. And lots of other people just around the area.
There wouldn't be a lot of African-Americans in the neighbourhood, put it that way. It's very affluent, very nice part of LA.
And do you know who else lived there, actually, which is kind of ironic. Well, not ironic, but anyway. Monica Lewinsky's family lived there.
That's right.
Yeah, and a year later, the Monica Lewinsky thing happened. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, and that's interesting, the context you put it there, because I know people are saying this is the birth of reality TV and it's a lovely theory, but I think even more so it gave the impetus, and it was recently Lampoon, I think, in Anchorman 2. It wasn't Lampoon and Anchorman 2. It gave the impetus to 24-hour news.
Yeah.
Within a year, Fox News, within a year, The Verdict. Sorry, I should say this was what we were talking about, June 94. The trial was basically January 95 to October 95. He was exonerated, as we know, subsequently found guilty in a civil trial, and now he's in jail at the moment serving time for armed robbery in a completely different case. But a year after the verdict, having seen the amount of coverage and the hunger and the appetite that the American people had for this case and for the minutiae of it, and let's face it, it got very minutiae-oriented, small little tiny details and gloves and all that, DNA evidence as well, Fox News started. Rupert Murdoch, obviously the light bulb went off over his head, and the guy who founded it said he wanted a run-in of about 9 months of prep before they started, and you know there was only CNN up to then, and MSNBC came online as well, and of course this is pre-Twitter and all that sort of stuff.
No matter what kind of programmes might have been on television that you could say were reality or were just a camera stuck in somebody's face for a while, this started the whole thing, didn't it?
In a way, yeah. No, I understand you get that, but I genuinely think it's the current affairs aspect, and as you're saying there, I mean Monica Lewinsky was a year later. Everyone was gripped to that. Louise Woodward, that trial, do you remember that? Yeah. I think there's part of it is the hunger for justice, or to see, justice to be seen to be done, or at least the workings of a courtroom, which of course from an Irish and I suppose UK point of view is fascinating because nothing is done, you know, in front of the cameras.
Well,
for
well,
us, you know, we still have sketches on the news. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
The judge said, Ito, he said, it's not going to let cameras in, and that just entered a whole new world.
And you can argue then, and I know law professors have over the last 20 years, and certainly at the moment are arguing afresh whether that changed the whole dynamic, and I think it did because basically you're aware, Dave, if you're a lawyer, if you're the judge, for God's sake, you're aware that you're on Larry King and Larry King is dissecting what you're doing. And you mentioned Judge Ito, what you call him, he's just retired, or Jay Leno, he had dancing Itos, do you know what I mean, like a dance troupe dressed up as Judge Ito on a show, not every night but for the duration of the trial. They all became celebrities. I mean, everyone knows the name of Mark Furman, the LAPD detective who was
vilified
is the word, and accused, and Johnny Cochran, the defence attorney and the chief he took over from Robert Shapiro, who played famously the race card. The first time I ever heard the expression the race card, and the vernacular changes, the language that you use changes because people start using these buzz terms. And of course, what was the famous one where and this is the great mistake, I think, that
the
defence, the glove, when they actually got OJ to try on the gloves, the famous glove, and this is very early days DNA evidence, and the glove didn't fit, and
so
Johnny Cochran, exactly, you've got to acquit, or you must acquit, whatever the exact word.
Over 20 people involved in the trial in that time you're talking about got involved later on in reality television programmes.
Yes, now I mentioned
all sorts of ones.
Yeah, now and there are direct links, and okay, there was an interesting piece in Vanity Fair that people will probably, if they have an interest, will want to check out, called It All Began With OJ, and it accuses them basically, and I quote, of a different murder, i.e. that of American popular culture. Robert Kardashian, who I alluded to earlier, he is the direct, I suppose, antecedent of all of this. And some people would argue perhaps OJ himself, because Robert Kardashian's principal three children, what are they called? Kim, Khloe and Courtney, are a veritable reality TV juggernaut, along with their mother, Kris Jenner, who's since remarried. And of course, Kim was here recently. And the Kardashians, I don't watch it myself, but you can't escape Kim and Kanye News. She is a principal star in the firmament, I suppose, of reality TV. Other ones as well, I suppose, The Hills was a great one. Again, LA. And I suppose what you're saying there, in terms of, you mentioned Brentwood and Rockingham, it was a peek behind the curtains, Dave.
Well, hold on, when you say The Hills, sort of, The Hills came along later on, and
they did.
I think 60 to 70% of Americans would believe it's unscripted and real. And that's where the blurred line started.
This is because of scripted reality. They rehearsed every scene, and I believe.
And also, you got to understand, like, the first of the kind of, if you like, the reality TV people were all people like Paula Abdul and Hulk Hogan, and in particular, of course, Ozzy Osbourne, all of whom had been famous, but the famous days
were
going
on. Yes, exactly.
So you could nearly say that inadvertently, I don't think he really would have meant it, that OJ was the first of that lot, because his great past was behind him. And also, like,
how great was his past? That's the question. Do you know what I mean? The man was most famous, I think, in America at the time, for Hertz commercials. In fact, he was on his way in between the discovery of the bodies to his jaunt down the freeway to a convention for Hertz.
Are you telling me he wasn't a major footballer? A major, major, major footballer?
Well, he put that in the
70s. He was an actor.
He was in The Naked Gun.
He was in a bunch of
movies. By the way, I remember, and do you know the other thing? You mentioned the World Cup earlier on, and I think this is
the World Cup
was
taken off the screen.
The very first day of the World Cup was the day of the car chase.
And
Germany were playing in Soldier Field in Chicago. I was in America at the time, and I remember I spent the summer in America, and one of my good friends there used to come up to me, every American little New York fella, and used to quote The Naked Gun, and their famous quote, which was, "Who could have done this to our beloved Nordberg?" Because that was the O.J. Simpson character.
Right.
Hired killer.
Right.
Roving gang of thugs. Gay lover. And that was, of course, because he was the fall guy. He was the stooge in the Naked Gun movies. And you're right. Okay, yes. Okay, I'll give you that. And Ozzy being a prime example. Yeah, his career's on the
shut you up and play
fritz.
Some Naked Gun. Are you ready for 20
go for
seconds?
Go for it.
Who would do such a thing?
Oh, it's hard to tell. Be a roving gang of thugs, a blackmailer, an angry husband, a gay lover. Frank, get a hold of yourself. Good cop. needlessly cut down and ambushed by some cowardly hoodlums.
There's no way for a man to die.
Yeah, you're right, Ed. A parachute not opening, that's a way to die.
Oh, God. By the way, 51552 is our text, and at Dave Fanning Show. And if you can remember back 20 years ago this week, 20 years ago this Tuesday, we're talking, well, that's the chase, and then it was for the next year, it was the court case.
And the court case lasted 134 days.
Did it?
Yeah, and it was on telly every day.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And people, it seems that Marcia Clark, is that her name? She was the prosecutor. And she changed her hairstyle one day.
Famously,
absolutely huge. But one of the things
that's what makeovers almost. Now maybe again, I was the right age.
Again, we're going back to reality television. Oh, hold on. But the other thing about her and what she did was the fact that, you know, people were giving out hell about the fact that all these soap operas were taken off the television because this bloody soap opera was happening in a courtroom live. After about 6 or 7 weeks, people were only wanting to see the OJ thing. Everybody stayed till the end. 180 million Americans watched the verdict or something bizarre like that. Yeah, it's the biggest thing in the history of television. But most importantly of all about that is the fact that then, when Marcia Clark was out sometimes, people would come to her and say, oh, I loved your show.
That's right. I loved your show. And it became...
Does that not make it my point? No?
Yeah, okay, okay. I will concede that point. And weirdly, of the 10 biggest soap operas in that time period, 94, 95, 6 have since ceased to be.
Yeah.
And that is... I will give you that. Okay, okay. You're convincing me a little. That's when reality, in
inverted
commas,
takes over. And I'll tell you how big it was, too. Boris Yeltsin, in charge of all this part
this
of the
great.
World, comes over to meet President Clinton in this
allegedly,
part of the world.
Allegedly, allegedly.
No, this is... The And the first question he says to Clinton was, well, do you think OJ did it? And by the way, one other thing you're saying here about him being famous or not famous, I mean, there's very few people who are known by just their, like, a couple of initials at the beginning. He was known well before this. If you said OJ, that meant your man. Okay, you're going to say the man
juice,
of the Hearst commercials.
The juice, yeah.
Yeah, the juice, yeah. Here's a few here at 51552. My big sister and I watched the entire trial.
Oh,
she left from the chair shouting yes at his acquittal. I didn't. See, there you go. Those
divided people. Families.
Oh,
I love
my
it.
God, yeah. Maybe MTV's Real World, it was awful. Yep. At the beginning of reality TV. But interestingly, around the same time as OJ, I think. That's when Killian on Twitter. No doubt about it, Real World was. And then you could go with the 7-Up thing for the BBC.
What was the Real World tagline, when people stop acting and get real or act real? Is that it?
But anyway.
But you're right. No, he's right.
7-Up
right.
was on British TV 100 years ago. I know that, but this is the one that really put it there. I mean,
but
like,
the Real World was the first thing, and that was 92. Do you know? And reality TV had existed. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you the reality started taking over. Yes. Okay, but it didn't start.
And also, the pizza. Like, I mean, people are watching this from bridges through Watts and all these kind of places in LA and looking over
and
the
saying,
bridges.
Run, OJ, run.
Run, OJ, run to beat the cops kind of thing. Even though they were only doing 30 miles an hour, it wasn't a real car chase. Okay,
which
so.
People forget, but you're right, I think you mentioned pizza. Yeah, I believe there's some great statistic quoted.
Yeah, I am not
sales
going back
went
in,
through the
yeah,
ceiling.
To cook a dinner here, lads, quick. And the sales went through the roof for
that's
pizza.
Right.
And the whole
that's
world
right.
was doing a thing. And by the way, there was also a television crew who were filming, like, all this thing and realised how big it was. And it was going on for so long, they had to refuel.
The helicopter had to come down and refuel. Yeah. That's right. And also, I believe, again, now some of these stories gain legs with 20 years, but there were so many helicopters beaming footage back that it would interfere. Some of it would turn up in the wrong channel, basically, in terms of the broadcast frequencies. Yeah. And NBC had to continue to show, because they paid for it, Game 5, I think, of the NBA Championship Series, which is on at the moment, and it was Houston Rockets against the New York Knicks or whoever. But apparently, the game was in a small box. I didn't see this because I was out at the time in America, in the corner of the screen, while the trial was being, or the car chase was being filmed.
By the way, speaking of stuff on TV that goes a bit wonky, you didn't see Peter Collins last night hear him doing the Spain match.
No.
And it was very weird because you hear he says the same thing twice and three times, and then when the penalty happened for Spain at the beginning, he said the penalty and it happened beforehand, so like the commentary was before, like a radio commentary before the pictures and all that. It was going a bit wonky. Anyway,
if you've ever watched a game, while you're on holidays, that often happens because they have the commentary in English on the radio.
I've done that before. Okay,
and the cabin scored.
So let's go back and take a look at what the whole thing was. Everything changed. Okay, the trial, as you say, went from January to October 95, so nearly more than a third of a year.
That's right. And Larry King was a key player in all of this. And actually, he was at the Paley Centre for the Performing Arts.
Larry King became part of it because he walked into the courtroom by accident. He went in the
wrong
door.
Isn't that amazing? And he had weird access. He up sticks basically from New York or DC or wherever it was, DC,
Larry
to
King
LA.
Being on a guy on television every day,
CNN,
the guy who wears the braces, and he was talking to people
Dave
involved.
Dave Fanning, you're on the air.
Yeah, different
Dublin
people.
Dublin Island, you're on the air.
Different people all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But a bit, do you know what's interesting there, and this is what I was thinking of as I was thinking about Larry King, hard news, melded or became suffused with celebrity news.
And here I go again.
But I'm still saying it's news. It's still news, though. It's still rolling news. Now, it's not a reality TV, but I can see why you would argue that, but you'd be wrong. But Larry King started interviewing celebs, and you look at what happened to the Larry King show when he retired. It became the Piers Morgan show, and that was all about famous people, apart from going on about the gun lobby. It was all about celeb people, celebrities even. But Larry moved his show from DC to LA, and it was CNN. It was the only network or cable news channel at the time. It was very austere. As you say, he wore the braces. He was always an elderly figure and quite a seasoned journalist. He dated two participants in the whole thing, one from either side.
I know,
And I'll give you an idea if you don't know anything about Larry King. He said recently at the Paley Centre, which is a very august institution for studying media and broadcast television and radio, both really pretty girls, is what Larry King said about the two. The jury consultant for the defence and chief assistant to the LADA. So he was very equal opportunities, I suppose, in terms of his involvement. Okay, he was in Judge Ito's room, you're right, and he was having a chat, and Judge Ito, apparently, he tells a story, was musing on a case of you know, homicide and spousal abuse, and Larry was going to go, maybe we shouldn't talk about this, and so they wrapped up the conversation and he followed your man out the door. Next thing he knows, he's in the courtroom. He's on TV,
and he gets a high five from OJ saying, hey, thanks for being so fair.
And that's right, and it's like,
and Marcia says, and hey, I'm watching you all the time.
So they're watching themselves acting a role. Okay, fine.
Oh, grist to the mill.
I can see
reality television.
No news.
That's what happens.
24-hour news.
It's bizarre.
It's not. You see, now, you can't hold O.J. Simpson. You can hold him responsible for many things, and the law has. You can't hold him responsible for Duck Dynasty, though, or for Honey Boo Boo, or for The Brilliant Storage Wars, the only reality TV show.
Well, I believe Honey Boo Boo trends as much as Obama does. So
I believe it. They're significant. There was that great bit character, what do you call him, Kate O'Kalen, who was staying kind of...
He wasn't the face of the trial, by the way. He was the hair of the trial.
He was the hair of the trial, is right. He was recognised by significantly more people. I'd say about 75-25% than Al Gore, who was vice president.
Now, I could do that now, though. I could show you a picture of Joe Biden, and I could show you five guys.
I always forget his name.
Yeah,
I always forget Joe Biden's name.
Even his face. I mean, like, I could show you five guys that look a bit... I bet you wouldn't necessarily know which one Joe Biden is. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, people don't know the vice president that well.
No, absolutely. But I do think it's interesting that you had the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky impeachment hearing, all that sort of stuff, and the following year. I spend more time watching that, I'd say. I thought it was more significant. Turns out it wasn't. Waste of time. And then you had the Louise Woodward trial. And at the moment, and you look at, if you have Sky Sports, Sky Sports News is given over a huge percentage of its time, and I think Sky One during the day as well, to the Oscar Pistorius
trial. When he comes back, yeah.
So it is still... I think there's something about the law element to it, Dave, though, as much as anything else. Do you know?
Yeah.
That, I mean, you look at how many law shows there are, lawyer programs there are from LA Law at the time to, you know, The Good Wife Today and all that sort of stuff. And we want to see... Or we're fascinated by courtrooms because I suppose there's a hint of danger with the OJ thing. And I will give you this in terms of Kardashians, it is a bit C-list celeb. It's a peek behind the curtains and everything's not as rosy. These people think they're living in Brentwood, they're living in a nice part of town, but really, and one of her friends, Nicole Brown's friends, in character witnesses, who testified at length, wrote a book basically about all her, Nicole Brown's, extracurricular, shall we say, dalliances and things they would get up to. And don't forget, going back to the Kardashians, that the story last year in the National Enquirer that quoted O.J. Simpson as saying he was Chloe's dad, because there was a bit of intermingling, shall we say, between the Kardashians and the Simpsons on holidays.
Yeah, he was kind of his gopher, wasn't he, your man?
Yeah, he was a bit of a lackey, and he definitely liked the star. And there you are, and this is again, this is the star hugging, shall we say, in a polite term, aspect to it, that he was a lawyer, a bit, you know, not a hugely ranking lawyer. He was part of the defence team, but I think largely because he was O.J.'s pal, but he loved being in the celebrity circuit.
Yeah.
And let's face it, all Kim Kardashian does, it's not for money, I'll give her that, it's for fame. And everything Kris Jenner does, it's for fame.
I just want to say one thing, though, just to go back to the point that I was making here, just before I just play a little bit of OJ and go back to the day itself, and that is that an awful lot of the people involved, if you look at the pictures of them and that, they were, like, I'm not saying there's a big difference between necessarily, well, I am actually, between the big screen and the little screen, but have you ever watched any of those soap operas in America in the afternoon? They all have the exact same look, beautiful looking women, kind of, anyway, with chiseled faces and that. Everybody involved in the trial was that kind of person. They were like a kind of a soapy kind of... Okay, you're not taking that here.
No,
here's OJ on the day.
Just let me get to my house.
Okay, we're going
to
do that.
I swear to you, I'll give you what... I'll give you my whole body.
Okay.
I just need to get to my house.
Okay. We're going to do that. Just throw the gun out the window.
I can't do that.
We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you go up there.
Just throw it out the window, please. You're scaring everybody. OJ, you there?
This is for me. This is not to keep you guys away from me. This is for me.
Nobody's going to hurt
this
you.
This is for me.
Okay, it's for you. I know that, but do it
this
for you.
This is for me, for me.
I know that, but do it for the kids, too, will you?
No.
Think of your kids.
No.
Please, just toss it out. You're scaring everybody, man.
No, I'm not going to hurt anybody.
I know you're not going to hurt anybody.
But for me.
I know you're not, man.
I'm just going to go with me.
Please, you're scaring everybody, though. You're scared.
Just tell them I'm all sorry. You can tell them later on today and tomorrow that I was sorry and that I'm sorry that I did this to the police department.
Listen, I think you should tell them yourself. Uh-huh. And I don't want to have to tell your kids that. Your kids need you.
That was a cop who had his number, right?
That's right, he found out he had his phone number. This is the early days of cell phones, I suppose, as well. And someone hooked up a tape recorder and taped it. Do you know what you forget? Is OJ was on the run. Very slowly. His friend Al Cowlings was driving the car and alleged and shouted out to cops who were in pursuit on the ground that he had a gun to his head, OJ, in the back seat.
Yeah.
And as I said, Kardashian read out something that was akin to a suicide note, and there were two people dead as well. You know, and it looked like OJ did it.
Okay, well then, sum up there, Mr. Sweeney.
Well, I think in terms of the legacy, I would argue that it boosted 24-hour news into the stratosphere. The Gulf War had started things. Reality TV, I'm not so sure. It's a bit of a bastard offspring, if you like, in terms of the court case. Reality TV, definitely 24-hour news. I think watch Anchorman 2. Anchorman 2 is all about kind of the early 80s and Ron Burgundy, and they start off with high-minded attitudes to the news and everything else. But there's some, you know, two-bit car chase happening. They cover it, they run it, they drop everything else, yeah. And the news station takes off and Ron Burgundy's a star. And I think that we wouldn't have Bill O'Reilly without O.J. Simpson. I'll tell you that. There's a great quote here in closing, Your Honour, that I'd like to finish with. This is Gerard Ullman, who was one of Simpson's defence attorneys. He said, "What I realised is this is entertainment. This is not news." So in a way, we'll call it 50-50, Dave.
All right. OK. Owen Sweeney, thank you very much indeed for dropping in this morning. It's 50 years next Tuesday. Something completely different right now. 20 years. Did I say 50 years? Sorry. Actually, it's not that old.
It's 66
today. It's 2 years after Rodney King, too, which was kind of important in terms of the people saying, go, you
which
know?
Is a lot of people reckon that's why. Yeah. First of all, there was so much support from him. Secondly, why he might have gotten off.
Yeah. Okay.